Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Swiggy Limited Q1 and FY 2027 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suman Sharma from the investor relations team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, operator. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first quarter FY 2027 earnings conference for Swiggy Limited. Our financial results and shareholders letter have been published on the exchanges, and the information pack has been given in the investor relations section of our website, www.swiggy.com. We would like to inform you that the management may make certain comments on this call that one could deem forward-looking statements. Specifically, the financial guidance and pro forma information that we will provide on this call are management estimates based on certain assumptions and have not been subjected to any audit, review, or examination procedures. Swiggy does not guarantee these statements and is not obliged to update them at any time. Joining us on the call today are Sriharsha Majety, MD and Group CEO, Rahul Bothra, Group CFO, and Rohit Kapoor, CEO of Food Marketplace. With this brief preamble, let us start the Q&A. Operator, you can please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Sachin Salgaonkar with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. Let me first go through all the questions, and then I'll hand over to management. First question is regarding the strategy in quick commerce. Now that we achieved a contribution margin breakeven, which partly perhaps came at the expense of a slower growth, management now wants to focus on accelerating growth. Again, that is going to come at the expense of contribution margin getting again into negative territory. I just wanted to understand how should we think about the strategy. Is it growth at the expense of margins or vice versa, and when do we see mix of both? Second question is on quick commerce, on contribution margin or, sorry, implied take rate. Because when we look at QC NOV growth, it's roughly 3% QOQ. QC revenue growth, it's roughly 13%. Clearly, the implied take rate has moved up. Just wanted to understand, is it on the back of the mix of private label? Is it seasonality, and how sustainable is the increased take rate? Last question is on food. Of late, a lot of noise has been increased on potential competition on the food delivery space. Would love to hear management's thought on that, particularly on the zero commission model and how does Swiggy look at it. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for your question, Sachin. I'm going to answer the first question. Harsha here. Yes, we did talk about a plan to be more focused on growth as we think about the way forward. When we talked about our overall commitment to move to the CM0, there were a bunch of reasons that we wanted to do it. We believe that to build a strong foundation for durable growth, this was quite important, and we've talked about it many times. When we look at the quality of the business going into the future, we have absolutely moved close to 30 rupees in contribution over the last five quarters. Our user retention month-on-month is at the highest that it's ever been. A lot of the work that we've done on our brilliant basics, as well as our efforts on differentiation, are bearing fruit. It is at this point where there is, outside of, let's say, the market leader, there is many folks operating at -10% and below in contribution margin. That is the kind of the segment that we're in. In a segment where there are very wide bands of operations that everyone has, we believe that we have earned the right and the flexibility to operate in 100 basis points contribution margin level. At the same time, we want to be completely accountable to the quality of growth that we will demonstrate, and we take great confidence in the quality of growth that we expect out of this, just because we're looking at the fundamentals, we're looking at the overall user health quality, how users are going in terms of their habit formation on the platform. Even the guidance that we've given is highly range-bound within, like, we closed the last quarter at -0.2, and we're talking about -100 basis points as a range. So obviously, we've assumed no change in competitive intensity. Should things change dramatically, you should expect us to also keep modulating the strategy. But, yeah, I think the main reason we're choosing this is because we feel very happy about the reset in the quality of the business. We feel very happy about the kind of growth that we're seeing, the quality of growth that we're seeing, and, we believe that doing this now increases our chances to, actually get closer to EBITDA profitability, in the time frame that we've also talked about, in the overall shareholder letter. Priyadarshi, Harsha.
Yeah. Hey, hi, Sachin. Rahul here. With respect to the take rate improvement, you know, as you would have largely seen, from our shareholder letter, a lot of our improvement has come at the back of monetization, right? Now, this is across, you know, the streams of, you know, the brands, take rate, where we are able to negotiate a lot bigger margins as we scale the business. Advertising has started to meaningfully kick in for us. The overall, you know, type of advertising that we are selling to, you know, brands and, you know, improving the growth for them, through these means. And thirdly, on the user fee side. So if you've seen over the last couple of quarters, we did experiment with a few, you know, levers around, no fee, et cetera. And, in the previous quarter, we have been able to now monetize better on the user side. So the combination of these three levers, we have been able to increase the take rate significantly, and a large part of our improvement over the last four, five quarters to help us, you know, get to the zero breakeven was also led by the monetization efforts.
In other words, Rahul, this is sustainable, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right. So, these are, you know, our revenues that we have been able to establish with the brand partners as well as on the consumer side. So we don't expect these to, you know, turn. Just to add on to the point that Harsha made, see, the 0 to 100 basis point flexibility, I think you should look more from an overall, say, angle of retaining this to be able to incubate back the growth. So even over the last 4 weeks, we've added more orders than in the previous 6 months, right? So having got to the balance sheet of, say, the users, which at the portfolio level became profitable for us, our ability to now start, you know, harvesting good quality growth by making some of these choices, is something that we would like to retain. You should also look at the background that probably apart from Blinkit, so all the other competition is operating at double-digit negative contribution margin. So, in this background, I think this flexibility is important for us to be able to, you know, get to the growth, you know, to the heightened growth level from here on.
Got it. Sachin, this is Rohit. I'll answer your third question regarding food delivery and the competition question you asked. So, at the base level, we believe that food delivery remains still quite underpenetrated in India, right? And with just maybe 1 out of 10 Indians have ever having transacted on a food delivery platform, and that too, a bulk of those transacted probably low frequency. That's point number one, that the opportunity remains secular and multi-year in nature. The second question is, we feel quite good about the kind of robustness we've built on the Swiggy platform in terms of, accelerating growth. So while this quarter growth is coming at adjusted about 18%, if you adjust for cancellations, but if you've seen the momentum over the last 3-4 years, it's been on an upward trajectory, and we continue to maintain guidance of growth between 18 to 20%. Third, the question on competition, it is quite clear to us that the expansion of food delivery will happen on the back of affordability and new segments. And also it is very likely that any competition of any nature which comes in is likely to come in more in the affordability segment than the premium segment. The premium segment is much harder to enter for any new competitor. That's a fair deduction to make. Now, we have made a conscious choice of building on the marketplace model, which is time, but it is very differentiated in terms of the delivery fee charges, the kind of proposition offers, the cuisine, the last mile, the economics, the value proposition consumer. It looks nothing like what food delivery looks like in India. Right, so that's point number one. There are competitors who are continuing to bet on the micro kitchen model, right? We believe, having tried that model and taken a decision to exit it about 4-5 months back, that model is A, it requires a different kind of expertise. B, it is probably more expensive to build, right? and seeing the economics of that remain highly uncertain, right, for most players. Last, your question on zero commission, I think we'll like to walk away from the marketing element of this to the reality of the business, right? So while you can call something zero commission, there are three or four fundamental questions to be answered there. One, if it is zero commission, then who pays for cost of the platform? Right? Somebody has to pay. And in the medium term, it is quite clear that there will be some charges, whether they are called commission or by some other name. Even today, we believe that while, for example, on Swiggy, we don't charge restaurant partners for delivery, right? There are platforms which are end up charging for delivery. And if you look at the lower AOVs and look at those costs, they do not really reflect the zero commission structure. Second, even if it is done initially, it is quite likely that over time, as the entry level, response is done, at some point in time, you have to recover the economics. And if it is not going to come from one stakeholder at all, then it goes to the other stakeholder, who's either the consumer or the delivery partner. We are not sure of the equilibrium that creates or the dissonance it creates in the future. Right. So, I think given our experience, we believe that with the architecting drawing, it remains one of the lowest cost ways to bring in a new delivery feature to the market and expand it. And happy to, as we today and in the future, as we expand it, build on it, happy to share more details with everyone on that. Hope that answers the question.
Absolutely. Thank you. And just one quick follow-up on competition in quick commerce. Are we seeing some slowdown in competition, or that continues to remain as intense as what it was, let's say, a month back?
We're not seeing anything noticeable in changes, Asha here.
Oh, got it. Very clear. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sudhir Guntupalli with Kotak Mahindra AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi Rahul. Possible to quantify the wage hike impact that you had this quarter and maybe if it can be apportioned across different segments? And also, it looks like there is a significant escalation in last mile cost in this quarter because of West Bengal elections and hotter than normal summers and all. So is it possible to quantify what would have been that impact across both the food delivery and the Instamart?
Sure. So on the wage rate, I think there are a couple of things, right? One is our annual salary revision happens in the AMJ cycle. So that's one part which sits below the contribution margin. Also, we have seen in certain states where there's been a minimum, wage, hike, which has impacted certain, say operations around our picking and packing, costs at the warehouse or at the dark store level. So those have been factored in our current state of both the achievement in the AMJ quarter as well as the guidance that we're dealing with the CAS quarter. So not some material, but something which is already been baked into. In terms of the last mile cost, you are right. This is a seasonal impact. This got accentuated with the election cycle that we saw, in the first part of the quarter. But on the other part, which is, migration of labor during the harvest period, this is something that on a year-on-year basis we do see. As you would have seen in the food delivery business, we've been able to negate some of that by continued efforts on getting better efficiency. So the previous year, we had a 40 basis point dip, which got reduced to 20 basis point dip in the current year. And we hope to continue doing better on this line going forward.
Okay, Rahul. Thanks. And Harsha, just one question to you. It's a follow-up to what Sachin was asking earlier. News articles clearly suggest that the funding environment for the unlisted competitors is becoming extremely tough in the backdrop of the irrational discounting and all. So in the future, let's say in the near future, next 3-4 months or so, if the funding environment continues to be tight, do you expect or do you foresee that some of this irrational discounting should sort of rationalize?
Hi Sudhir, I think firstly the market now has 7-8 players, so I don't think it is only one player that changes how we execute. I think we need to keep everyone in mind. There are also folks expanding their networks rapidly. Also, I think as a part of the research that we did and this whole differentiated assortment that we keep harping on about, at some level, I think you should rest assured that most of our efforts are to actually fiercely shape the positioning that we want so that we can have a lot more control over our destiny instead of looking over our backs every quarter to see what everyone else is doing. Even in the last 4 quarters, we have taken a very, very contra choice in terms of choosing contribution over growth. And we believe that that's given us a lot more staying power. Now with the differentiated assortment coming in, we feel even more comfortable. So I'm not sure only one player changes how the category goes from here. There are 7 players. Everyone has their own strategies. We have our own and we just want to execute on it.
Fair enough, Asha. And you guys also had gone through a bit of a low-value customer rationalization and all in the recent past. Based on your experience, let's say, what is the sensitivity that you are looking at? Let's say some of the players who are currently operating at zero MOV, zero delivery fee, etc. If they were to push up this delivery fee or minimum order values, what is the kind of sensitivity or potential declines in customers that could be happening over the course of time?
I think, Sudhir, we've kind of maybe shown that in our own question the last 2 quarters. Our growth has also been soft because these resets are quite painful. The music does stop. Everyone has to look inward and make the hard resets that are needed for a stronger foundation. So any player that has to make these choices is going to see significant dips in volumes. And then you need to make up for it and then more with organic drivers of growth. So it is, I mean, in a push to, if you go after value as a proposition, you are going to acquire heavily value-seeking consumers. And if you take that away, they also observe it very, very quickly. So this would be true for any player that is going to make changes to a value proposition, especially on value.
Fair enough. Rahul, couple of accounting-related questions. Firstly, it looks like some of the unlisted competitors are actually capitalizing employee salary costs or cloud token cost, or in some cases indirect costs related to stores even after the stores becoming operational. Can you confirm, can you clarify if we also capitalize any of such expenses or not?
Thanks for the question. Absolutely not. For all the line items that you mentioned, and there are a lot of them, we do not capitalize any of these. All of these are booked as part of the, you know, especially also new stores when they open, even if there is a 30, 60, 90 day period, all of that gets baked into our contribution margin. And there's no capitalization of employee cost. And you can clearly see that in our notes also that we periodically publish.
Okay, last one from my end. Is there any securitization of the payables that some of our unlisted competitors might be doing, wherein we get into arrangements with the brands that will pay an interest for delayed payment rather than making a timely upfront payment?
No, we are not aware of such practices.
Okay. Thanks, Rahul. Thanks, Asha. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the you know, statement you have made on 4 weeks trending NOV growth rate is 10% versus 1% in the previous 4 weeks. So is this 10% a week on week number? And if so, you know, what kind of growth rates would one basically build in for the quarter?
So Abhishek, I clarify that it is a 4 week cumulative number. So not just a week, but the 4 week cumulative number over the previous 4 weeks. Now that, you know, and this is of the latest available, you know, data that we have of the previous week. For the rest of the quarter, it's hard to, you know, guess, but as you've seen from our commentary, we do want to, you know, perform the accelerator here. And as you've also seen, you know, now that the CM journey has been accomplished, the EBITDA journey itself, you know, will mean that we have to get to a certain, you know, run rate in terms of our net order value, and then journey has begun for us.
Got it. So the store expansion that you are speaking of, will that be, you know, mostly in the cities where you are operating your top 8 cities, or will it be outside?
Yeah. Absolutely, Abhishek. So we are going to open in the same cities. We are not opening any new cities. With the efforts on some of the growth that levers that we have put in place, we are seeing good traction. So some of our cities we are starting to see maxing out of capacity in some of these hyper local stores. And some of these stores start hitting 2,500 to 3,000 orders per day, which necessarily means that we have to open more stores. So at a network, overall network level, we are obviously 40% utilized. So our guidance for the current quarter is that seeing some of this growth that we are going to add more stores than we have added in the last four quarters, in this quarter itself.
Understood. Now, when you speak of the zero to minus 100 bits, the line item where you are willing to spend most on growth, right? So is it on discounting or is it some sort of inducement to the customer or your channel partner, delivery partner? Just can you give some color on that?
Yeah, sure. See, so one of the factors would be the store expansion that we have talked about. So considering that we are adding more stores, which would mean that there would be a certain amount of fixed cost that would get start getting booked. So that's considered in that. The second area of investment is really around the the basics, which the brilliant basics as we call them, which is around the speed of the network. Currently in this quarter we also have seasonal rain impact, which means that you want to improve our serviceability and provide better than competition both serviceability. The third one is around availability of our selection. So we've made some pretty hard reset in terms of availability and the quarter selection. These are the three areas which are mostly around customer experience.
Got it. And in terms of the growth trajectory that you are kind of saying, right? So what will that be driven by? Will it be more more AOV growth, or will it be orders growth? And if it's orders growth, will it be more customer acquisition or more driven by increasing order frequency?
So I think on AOV, while we continue this journey, you may have seen that we have done very well on the AOV journey, but that is something that we are not banking on going forward basis. It can naturally happen, but a lot of the growth is going to come from transacting user base increase as well as frequency increase. So these are the two levers that we are going to double down on. And as Asha mentioned, some of these are starting to play out for us, having done the hard yards around beating away some of these low profitable users and orders, they are starting to see better and better customer retention on our platform. So our M1 retention of the transacting user base has actually been the highest that it has been over the last many quarters for us. So we are starting to see that sign of growth, which means transacting user base increase is going to be the key lever for our order growth in the setup.
Understood. Now, in the in the platform innovations part of the business, there was a increase in losses, right? So, is that on account of closing Snack? Does that contribute something, or is it completely driven by time?
So, part of that was the closure, and since we had closed it last quarter, there were some operating costs that got booked in this current quarter. But large part of this investment is on Join. And again, as we have called out, a lot of this is around the marketing investment that we have made to acquire new users on the platform. Because from overall fixed cost perspective, we have been able to launch Join with very minimal effort or minimal overhead addition outside of the marketing investment that we need to make to get the new users on the platform.
Understood. And just one last question, which is on the management change, right? So what are the expectations from the new CEO for Instamart? She's obviously a story leader, but if you could give some pointers, that would be great.
I think thanks, Abhishek. Harsha here. I think we have talked now about the foundation that has been set for the business. We're starting with these record high retention levels. We're starting with some early success in the differentiated assortment approach, and everything in Nandita's experience has also demonstrated that in retail she's proven to be like a strong merchandising leader who's understood consumers better than her competitors in the past, and we want to be able to work with her to build on the foundations even better, build on the brilliant basics, and also really double down, triple down on the differentiated assortment proposition to drive strong, durable, profitable growth for Instamart.
Right. Thanks so much. Those are all my questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vijit Jain with Citigroup. Please go ahead. Vijit, you may please proceed ahead with the question. If you are on mute, please unmute yourself. Yep.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. My question is, on the 4-week growth commentary, 10% in the 4 weeks versus 1% in the preceding 4 weeks. Just to be clear, this is week-on-week growth, or are we looking, or are you kind of tracking towards 10% QOQ growth in the quarter as of July 26th? That's my first question.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Rahul here. So it's a cumulative of weeks and not just a week. And, so obviously we are starting the quarter on a good balance sheet, as I mentioned, with the retention starting to show up, RTO, transaction user base starting to, increase. So we are cautiously optimistic of being able to deliver, at least on the double digit growth on a sequential basis, and hopefully more.
Got it. Understood. Thanks. And the second question is on this retention remark. You said 61% 1 month retention is the best you've had in many quarters. You said 55% was the level last year. Just some benchmarking here would be useful. What is good, when you look at food delivery or I'm just trying to understand. Is this the metric that you would track to say that, your retentions are now at, gold standard or something?
Hi, Harsha here. I don't think this is gold standard. I think this is our highest so far. And I think our attempt will be to keep building on this and improving this in an increasingly competitive market, which will take a lot more than just BAU activities. So it's safe to say we're not done here.
Got it. And Asha, my last question here is, so you've said that, in the letter that quick commerce is entering a phase of, diminishing returns on some of the older growth strategies, and you've talked a lot about differentiated assortment in the letter, including, noise and switch to better. In general, if you were to quantify, I know it's probably a hard question to answer, but is this going to be the prime driver for growth for you, apart from, of course, the store additions, the differentiation in assortment? Is that how one should look at it, or there is more juice to be had from other initiatives that you could build on there?
I think this should be seen as an additional driver of growth. I think the core proposition of quick commerce of getting 20,000 assortment in minutes, in quality, on time, all of this has its own organic growth rate as long as you wake up and do a great job at it every day. I think this offers the opportunity to get incremental growth on top if you're able to do differentiated things, not just from other quick commerce providers, but overall retail in a way that it doesn't exist. So for us, we will see it as an alpha, saying, can we get even more growth by doing these?
Understood.
It will help us continuously also shape our contribution while continuing to grow better than maybe we have in the past. These are things that we didn't have earlier, and we hope that they aid us in the path to manage growth and profitability even better.
Got it. Thanks. Just one follow-up on our previous question, Nandita getting on board at Instamart. So you've had some other changes in leadership at Instamart as well, right? A few people across different roles there. So generally just wanted to get a sense of, beyond what you said, Asha, around Nandita, and what she brings to the table, what else are you looking at with some of these changes at Instamart? I mean, are there specific areas that you think they would want to hit a bit more aggressively, including, brand partnerships or ads and so on and so forth?
I think we are not going to be able to go into like L3, L4 detail here, unfortunately. I think the core vectors remain the same. I think to run the business and improve the customer and brand experience even more is the bedrock for the business. That will be a zero priority. And in addition, to build on the early momentum from the first quarter of the differentiated assortment and really get it to the next level of driving buildings, probably these are the, of course, team is going to be important, everything else is going to be important, but I guess the job for Instamart is these two. If we do these well, I think we will be just fine and do really well in the next few quarters.
Thank you so much. Congratulations and best of luck for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Maheshwari with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. A few questions. First is, Rahul, when I look at, the delivery fees in the Instamart business, that number comes to zero. Am I getting it right or not, please?
Where are you picking this up, Vivek? I'm going to ask you.
So what I'm doing is, the reported numbers, reported revenue minus adjusted revenue. When I so in the previous quarters, when I look at that number, roughly comes to about 3 rupees, give or take. This quarter, your reported numbers and fully, loaded revenues, the difference between the two is zero, which gives a sense that there is no delivery fees that you collected at least under that head. The differential of the two is basically zero, which used to be, which used to be about 3 rupees per order. And I'm talking about e-commerce.
Maybe you can continue with the rest of the question, I'll come back on this.
Sure. That is one. Second is on the monetization bit, because the bulk of the monetization is on the, from the brands. Do you think as we go forward, you have still more levers? And from the strategy that you have, highlighted about focusing on select brands, focus brands and all of those, do you think that journey can continue for the next few quarters and this number can, the monetization bit can keep going better both on, pure take rate as well as on the advertising bit?
Absolutely. So, Vivek, if you've seen our, journey for the next 30 rupees, which we need to achieve to hit break even on EBITDA, again, 20 rupees roughly, that is going to come from the monetization side. Roughly more than half and half between, say, the product margin that we make from the brand or the mix of our business, as well as roughly, say, 10 rupees from the advertising side of the business. So we still see substantial room, and again, this is the, journey towards hitting EBITDA profitability. And then probably there's a next journey, which is another 25 to 30 rupees to our steady-state EBITDA guidance. So we are going to continuously monitor, you should hold us accountable to be able to deliver on these metrics that we have highlighted. But definitely there is room for us to continue on this journey.
Got it. And a follow-up to that, Rahul, and apologies if it's a naive question, but your take rates have moved up meaningfully on a sequential basis. When you let's say went to the brands, what was the proposition that, or what was the promise that you had for them because of which, because the monetization bit for literally 2-3 quarters, the number was flat and suddenly it moved up. So what was the trigger point because of which you were able to do this?
Yeah. So unfortunately, these are not on a quarterly basis, right? So many of these, say, brand negotiations are happening on an annual basis, depending on the cycle of those respective brands as well as, our continued negotiation cycles. We continue to show them, higher growth. Also, the mix of the growth that we show versus say, what they are used to in their traditional channels, which means that there is a little bit of monetization that they can offer to us because of the mix that we offer. On the advertising side, it's also about us being able to add the kind of inventory and the product features on our app to be able to give more and more avenues for these brands to participate to be able to showcase their products. So it's a journey of both product building as well as the negotiation efforts as we scale the platform.
Got it. And my last question is on Toing, where you have said that 2 out of 3 users are new to the to Swiggy platform. So which means that 1 out of 3 would be common. What is the behavior of those users who have gone to Toing? Their behavior on the main app, Swiggy app, basically.
So, this is Rohit here. So, 1 out of 3 users who are obviously common on Swiggy, exhibit one of two behaviors. One, first behavior is that they just wanted a different alternate, right? And they find Coin more appealing to them, right? And which is great because they stay within the same company. The second is they take some part of their use cases to Coin, some stay on Swiggy. We are observing both, right, at this point.
Got it. Thank you and wish you all the best.
I think if I may just answer your first question, I think you can go to page 16 where we have the adjusted revenue walk and including the user delivery charges that we collect. So maybe that will give you the answer. Thank you.
Sure. I will take it offline with you then, Rahul. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Soman with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So three questions. So firstly, just a clarity on the strategy, right? I mean, we've gone through multiple loops on the strategy on quick commerce. We did sort of Max Saver, then we focused on taking off delivery charges and now going own brand and or at least focus on own brand. From a consumer perspective, does it become confusing? And then are they confused about the proposition that Instamart or Swiggy has? Even on food delivery, we are seeing that now there's a, like you said, a third of the current customers are maybe overlapping with Swiggy. Does that create confusion? And the reason I ask this is because when I look at the sort of app ratings, at least some of the initial data we are seeing on app ratings, there is a fall off in app ratings, the number of ratings as well as the quality of ratings for Swiggy. And that is a little surprising for me, given the strength of the brand. Second, on this own brand strategy, and when you talk about sort of increasing ad revenues, is there a conflict between those two? Because at some level, you compete with the brands that want to advertise on the platform, as well as the fact that there will be a chunk of revenue on which you cannot collect advertising because it's your own brands. Does that become a conflict of interest, or how does one solve for it? And then lastly, in terms of just the platform frequency, some of the data that you reported suggests a drop-off in platform frequency. So if you can just throw more light on why that is happening. Thanks.
Sorry, could you repeat your last question again?
You've reported data on platform frequency. And I see that there's a drop off in the platform frequency in your shareholder letter. So I was just wondering why that has happened. This is on page 5 of the shareholder letter.
I'll take the first question on the strategy of QC. Honestly, when we did Max Saver last year, I think that should have been seen more as a tactic than a strategy. It was helpful for us to combine carts a lot more effectively than we were able to at the time and moved the AMV in the way that it did. In terms of the clarity, I think that is the position that we are now taking in a way that we haven't taken in the past. Looking back, I think we could have done even more to cement more distinctive positioning for Instamart. And that is exactly what we're, you know, doing today. All of these, you know, user-based reset, all of this more careful, deliberate positioning, saying this is what we want to stand for. It's all about that. So I would say that we haven't done anything distinctive as a strategy, so concerted as a strategy in this way before. And we're also making all the changes on the storefront to reflect this clarity, and we're starting to see some of the consumers' experiences buy into the proposition. Still early days, but we're quite hopeful that the clarity in positioning for Instamart is starting to show up for consumers in a way that it hasn't in the past. As for the app ratings, we're going to look into this. We don't see anything unusual here, but we'll report our findings there. I think in the food delivery part, when you're talking about confusing, at the same time, there are also questions about multiple new value-led players showing up in food delivery. I think affordability is a real need and can be improved and should be improved to drive category growth. So if there is a more purpose-built model for value in the food delivery category, I think we owe it to ourselves to do this exploration along with other explorations on this Swiggy app.
Just sorry, Paul.
No, go ahead. You have a follow-up question.
Yeah, just on that food delivery bit, right? I mean, I agree with the sort of potential need for getting new customers at lower price points. But so what would this entail? Would this entail sort of a lower commission model? Because ultimately, even in your sort of bull case scenario, you're talking about a 5% margin, right? So ultimately, as you mentioned before, you have to pay for the cost. So how does toying monetization differ from Swiggy?
I think firstly, we're still in early days on the coin business, but definitely I think commissions do need to be different from the Swiggy platform to enable our restaurant partners to offer everyday low prices. So it is a core part of the strategy. As Rohit had mentioned previously, the answer is not going to be zero in practice, because zero in practice is not going to also work to grow the category. But to lighten the load for restaurant partners will be important to build a more balanced ecosystem, even with toying. It has to be durable.
No, I understand, but my, sorry to harp on this, but the question is, you're ultimately paying 50, 60 rupees, whatever the amount is for a delivery partner, and that needs to be covered, right? And today, if you look at the revenue per order, it's just about covering that and your fixed cost. So how does one lower commission, lower fees, and then still cover the 50 rupees? Unless one can batch, so unless you think that batching is a lot more viable and toying than the Swiggy.
I think the only difference is the average order values of both categories are going to be different. So we don't need to make 40 rupees per order in this business to build a large and profitable version.
All right. I think just to
add to what Harsha said, also it is, please don't assume that it is the same food delivery model transplanted to a new salary.
Yeah.
It is bottom-up thinking on what is most valuable to the consumer, right? What does the consumer care about the most? Really making sure that they get the best experience and value on that count, and then also figuring out what is the consumer willing to trade off on. Far easier to do on a standalone platform than on the same platform. Right? So it's going to over time look quite different in terms of, and different doesn't mean better or worse, it's different in terms of what it offers, in terms of value, experience, selection, speed, everything.
I'll take the next two questions on your brand, private brand strategy in context with ads. I think the inherent nature of some of these private brands means that they come with significantly higher margins, right? So there's both the supply chain margins and, you know, some of the manufacturing margins that you can, you know, as a brand appropriate, which leaves enough and more room for you to, you know, have higher gross margins than this. So our private brand strategy is not, you know, value driven. It is more experience driven, and therefore you should expect higher margins in that, as that case. The third question around the platform frequency drop, that's really a mixed impact. So as we have called out over the last 2-3 quarters, we have actively culled out a lot of, MTU users on the platform, and since these are reported numbers across food delivery as well as quick commerce, there's been an impact because quick commerce has lower frequency compared to food delivery. So this should start correcting itself as the overall MTU base starts improving. Just to call out, these numbers do not include the toying, which are currently reported in the platform innovation, which is not forming part of our B2C COE reported volumes.
No, all right. Thanks a lot for patiently answering all my questions, Tasha, Bert, and Rahul. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jilanshu Gore with Bestin. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I think I have one comment or request and one question. Let me do the comment part first. I think you've discussed toying a lot. I think a lot of different questions from participants. I am not sure if I am clear or you have answered the questions that you have raised in the newsletter in the context of new competition for food delivery. So we have raised certain questions of what their business model needs to answer. But what are those similar questions for toying and what are our answers? At least I'm not sure. I will leave it to the management to use this opportunity, or we can discuss it next week during the Capital Markets Day But that's my first sort of request slash question. And second is a specific one on Instamart. So we have written about the strategic brand partnerships, right? In addition to Noice, which is our proprietary brand, and we are developing a wide area of portfolio. What can you just give us a few details about how we are collaborating with these brand partners? Are these products exclusive to Swiggy, or can they be sold on other platforms as well? And what's our approach here to driving the behavior using the switch to better proposition? That's it for me. Thank you.
Hi, Harsha here. Thanks for the questions. Maybe on the first one, we will definitely cover a lot of this next week in the Investor Day as a part of broader explanation on toying. We'll be sure to make the time there. On the second one, on strategic brand partnerships, actually, we'd love for you to open the Instamart app and check out the Switch to Better campaign that is live right now. Maybe if you would try a few searches for products, you'll be able to understand the bets that are live. The way we are working is we work with a mixture of both incumbent and large brands in some of the categories, as well as challengers like B2C brands, to create a distinctive value proposition of better quality, or great quality, at great prices. Now, so that is why if you will go to, let's say, the Atta category, you will see partnerships with Ashirwad, and you know, ITC has done like a couple of brands in that case. Maybe in the toy car segment, you'll see a different brand. In, let's say, the eggs category, the Switch is on top of our own brand Noice. So it is a mix of brands between, you know, proprietary, large, and D2C. And, there were other questions about if the products are fully exclusive. In a lot of the cases, actually, the SKUs themselves tend to be exclusive. And when they're not, you'll see that there are some SKUs where there's a mixed portfolio. Let's say if you search for oats, you would see how many high protein oats in the selection. You'll see that a lot of them would be exclusive, and some of them would be at, you know, the brand would be retailing, selling at like an exclusive price with us. So it tends to be a mixture. But the proposition of great quality at great prices will be exclusive for us as a combination of these two. Ultimately, the strategy is all about democratizing access to great quality.
Alright, so thank you for that answer. We look forward to next week.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala with IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. You know, looking at the cash burn that you currently have on QC, and the trajectory that you have on food delivery in terms of cash generation improvement over the next 2-3 quarters, do you believe, you know, you can offset the entire cash burn on QC through your food delivery as well as your yield income anytime in the near future?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Yes, I think, you know, obviously they are going in the right trajectory. Both our food delivery, you know, business in terms of accreting margins, we are currently at, above 3%. We have told that we will be heading to 5%, and that steady growth we will continue to see, as well as the treasury income. So we expect to, over the next 2 quarters, be able to break even at the overall cash level. While, you know, we continue to support the e-commerce business journey, is a bit, you know, profitability journey.
And so, you know, barring the burn on innovation, you would effectively start generating cash at a consolidated level. Is that a right assumption to make?
Yes, that's true. I mean, platform innovation by the nature is something that we, you know, are not, you know, committing ourselves fully, as we have then, the product hits both PMF as well as what we call business market fit. That is when it will get its growth capital and it will have its own economics from there on.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. On behalf of Swiggy Limited, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.